Historic talks are underway in Geneva between the political leaders of the divided island nation of Cyprus. Here's some history, very briefly. Cyprus was first annexed by Britain from the Ottoman Empire and finally got independence in 1960, but the island has been divided since 1974 when Turkish troops arrived on the island. Then in 1983, the breakaway state of Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, as it's known, was declared. It's recognised only by Turkey. For today's edition of Global Roaming, we're heading to the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, the last remaining divided capital in the world. It sits in the middle of the island of Cyprus. Both it and the island are divided by a UN buffer zone known as the Green Line. Well, Rosie Halamburas is a journalist based in southern Nicosia. Rosie, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello, Hamish. Nice to speak to you.
Before we get to the peace talks, can you just explain for us on an everyday level, what is it like in Nicosia? How does being in this divided place shape people's lives?
Well, I think since the border opened so that people could cross over south to north, north to south a few years ago, I mean, you can walk over there, you can do your shopping, you can go meet friends and have a meal. Life is pretty normal, you would say. But I think it's the bigger picture of what being divided does to both communities that is what's at stake here.
It's a very sort of small buffer zone, as it were. Having been there to cover talks previously, I was surprised at how kind of local the entire situation feels.
Well, yes, it's very local, and it doesn't, I mean, people sort of say, what does it feel like being in a divided capital? It feels awful that you have to get your passport or your ID card out to walk across a 50-metre divide, but at the same time, people are doing it all day, every day. So life is going on much as normal, but I think particularly tonight when I went into the buffer zone by the Nidra Palace, which is the UN headquarters here, there was a big event organized by groups from both sides of the island to urge the leaders to come to an agreement. And the feeling there was, you know, this has gone on for so long, we need a future. And at the moment, we don't have a future. So there was a huge feeling of hope, but there is also concern, and there is also a little bit of worry that we've been almost this far so many times. Can it happen this time, or are we once again going to reach a situation where everybody backs off, and then what happens next? So it's a very mixed feeling depending on who you speak to. And I should add that as people were leaving that very peaceful reunification event, the far-right Elam movement arrived in their black shirts with their black flags to try and intimidate people. And that's something that worries some people because they see it as possibly setting the way for future tension in the event of an agreement. But then I've also spoken to people tonight who've said, listen, if there isn't a solution, these are the people who will then have the upper hand. So everybody, I think, is a little bit wary, but at the same time, there is a great deal of hope.
The talks being held in Geneva involved the president, Nikos Anastasiades, and Turkish Cypriot leader Mustafa Akinci. These are the first direct talks since 1974, but they're not the first talks, as it were. What's at stake this time?
No. We've had talks on many occasions. We had the Annan Plan in 2004, which was rejected by the Greek Cypriots. But this does seem to be the first time that, as Espen Barth Ida says, who's the UN sort of negotiator helping, facilitating the process, says, it's the first time that the stars have been aligned because the two leaders on both sides seem to want to have a solution. We've previously had one side that looks like it's aiming for it and the other side's blocking it. So there is hope that this time these two leaders, they both hail originally from Limassol, they're both of an age that can probably remember when Cypriots, both Turkish-speaking and Greek-speaking, lived together, could get on. there is a hope that they will come to an agreement. The problem is there are some very sticky sticking points. For example, how many Greek Cypriots would be allowed to go back to the areas under Turkish occupation and the homes that have been lived in since 1974 by either Turkish Cypriots or probably more likely mainland Turkish settlers? That's a big problem for the Greek Cypriots. The other problem is a lot of Greek Cypriots may not want to go back to those homes because they've built new lives elsewhere, but then they will be entitled to some form of compensation for their houses. Who's going to find that money, because it's a lot of houses and a lot of compensation? So there are huge problems to overcome. It's a question of, is the will there and can a way be found?
Unfortunately, we've got to get to the news, I'm afraid, Rosie, in about 20 seconds, but it's been fascinating to hear about Cyprus this morning in Global Roaming. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Rosie Karalambos is a journalist based in southern Nicosia in Cyprus.